go?
Yeah, you better, Kyle.
You want me to say it?
Say it.
Good evening, world. You are listening to Cheater and the Rude, coming to you live from Progressive Radio Network. I'm Lee Papa, writer of the blog The Rude Pundit.
I am Jeff Chrysler, reader of the blog The Rude Pundit. I also write some other stuff too. Get Rich Cheating is a book, and I work on a TV show, Cup of War Room, and I'm having a glass of scotch.
Whoa, you're drinking on the air?
Yeah, man, you know what? This is a foreign, I'm doing international relations. This is a scotch from Scotland, so.
Damn, man. I wish I was joining you. I feel like I should have a whiskey in my hand right now.
It's all right. You can just smash yourself in the face a couple times.
Hey, Lee.
Well, I don't think we've done this show live in quite some time, the two of us. We've each done it live, and we've done it pre-cord.
Yeah, but together on the air, I don't know. I truly don't know when.
Is anything happening right now that we should we live tweet this show?
You could live tweet it, but you know what? I'm going to just pay attention to the talking.
Because
you know what? If I start tweeting while you're talking, then I'm not really listening to you, and I feel as if I need to listen as well as talk.
Well, you know what?
Anyway, I was looking today.
Aww.
See what I did there? Did you see that?
You did a thing where you said something and then acted it out, and in a way, you made me cry. Like one of those clowns that makes some people laugh, but others cry, and then he kills everyone and burns their family. Thanks, Lee, for bringing up memories of a horrific death that I never had.
Wow. You know what? I'm glad I finally learned the secret to your comedy. And I think that clown mass murder is really, I'm pretty sure that's the way that Lenny Bruce got his comedy.
Yeah, he was actually forget it. Just let everyone, people that have listened to the show before know that I could have gone and made up a thing, but I don't want to. There's too much real pain in the world for me to imagine Lenny Bruce's imaginary childhood clown-related pain. So,
yes. Yes, so I will not pick over the bones of dead comedians in order to harvest them for our own comedic benefit.
That's very brave of you. So you wouldn't do well in the Romney campaign. Heyo, everybody!
Hey! How about that new video, huh? Well, it's not a new video. It's from 1985.
I don't think the vote there. Harvesting companies?
Yes.
That's for those who don't know, there's a video of Rami as Bane guy talking about how they're going to harvest companies. It's interesting, but why this is not a surprise. Nothing he said is a surprise, except for the fact that he's been caught saying it. But this is not. Everybody knows this is what Bane does, is they harvest companies. I mean, that's the biggest, you know, the biggest fraud of them all. Like, I'm breathing. I'm exhaling. I mean, this is, maybe one of the things that the Obama campaign knew was in their back pocket, even though, yeah, they didn't release it, but, man.
Could you imagine, I love the idea that the Obama campaign has just this crap load of stuff that they have in their back pocket, and they're like, holy fuck, we've got all this Oppo research, but he's imploding. How the fuck are we going to do? I mean, it's at this point, it really is like going up to the monk that set himself on fire and just roasting marshmallows.
Yeah, although the thing is, you know, what they got to do is they still have to pour gasoline on. I mean, it's one of those things, like, you gotta have that killer instinct. And that's the question, is how do you do the killer instinct? Because people, there might be a swing where people start feeling bad for Romney. And they, you know, like a little wounded kitty, they want him to...
Well, that's what I said. I said this week that the only hope for Mitt Romney is the pity vote. Like, aw, he hurt so bad. Let me vote for him and make him feel better.
Yeah, but then you get someone like Todd Akin talking about how Claire McCaskill isn't ladylike and is acting like a wildcat let out of a cage.
Wow.
And you remember, those guys are assholes. Fuck them and their pity. Hey, wait, Mike.
Speaking of getting fucked by their pity or getting fucked without pity, let's listen to Mitt Romney. Let's hear exactly what he had to say.
Bain Capital is an investment partnership which was formed to invest in startup companies and ongoing companies, then to take an active hand in managing them, and hopefully 5 to 8 years later to harvest them at a significant profit. The fund was formed on September 30th of last year. It's been about 10 months then. It was formed with $37 million in invested cash, an additional $50 million or so of what I'll call a call pool, which is money we can call upon if the deals are large enough that they require more than a $2 or $3 million initial investment. Why in the world did Bain & Company get involved in this kind of a business? We're not particularly noted for having years and years of experience in financing. Three reasons. We recognized that we had the potential to develop a significant and proprietary flow of business opportunities. Secondly, we had concepts and experience
which
would allow us to identify potential value and hidden value in a particular investment candidate. And
third,
we had the consulting resources and management skills and management resources to become
effectively... I gotta say, as far as this goes and his other speech, the 47% speech, I just did a corporate gig. Those are tough audiences. Like, he's kind of grasping for straws trying to find what it is they want to hear. So maybe Romney, back in May, in the 47% speech, was just kind of like, you know, he was just kind of entertaining, but he wasn't getting a response. They weren't laughing until he kind of was, like, pandering. So I think that...
Oh, really? So he was having one of those Rodney Dangerfield moments of... You know, what can I do to get some respect? I know, I don't get no respect, but...
I understand, but you're trying to make it work in the real world. And the hardest thing, he's just relating to the farm people.
Or the people that sell organs on the black market. Either way, somebody's getting, as you said before, fucked over. No pity for the people doing the fucking. And you know what? Considering the people that were involved, maybe just a little, but not a whole lot of pity for the people getting fucked.
No. And you know what? It's some part of me wonders if he had just embraced who he really was, would he have had a better chance? It's one of those things like, you know, George Bush embraced who he really was, like this kind of religious, ill-informed bumpkin who believes in a simplistic world, and he just didn't pretend to be anything else. And to me, that was not something I was attracted to. But some people just, you know, like if Mitt Romney said, like, I'm a rich, sheltered guy, but I come from elite, and I come from like a family of people that are, in, you know, spin it to a governor, and even Mormonism has their social aspect, and yeah, my company. We ruined other companies, but we're there to make a profit. And it's that, you know, that type of folk, whatever. I can't even fucking spit it. But if you just, and I did Romney care, if you just said what he was and accepted that, would he be in better shape? It's, you know what I mean? It's like now.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to say no. No, I don't think he would have had a better shot. I think that he was fucked from the get-go because there's no way. The thing about Bush is that bumpkin persona was what people wanted. There was Clinton Gore. There was Clinton burnout, which affected Gore, even though Gore, you know, won. Even though he won. By the way, just on a side note here, you know, you could say, well, then why did Bush get reelected? I would like to welcome Republicans to how we felt in 2004, where we were looking at Bush and we saw him as an utter failure, and then the candidate we put up couldn't capitalize on that, and we're going, what the fuck? Look at him!
Yes and no. And I have to admit, I'm having partisan glasses here, and that's not what I'm drinking out of. What I'm on my eyes is that I find it hard for someone, an objective, intelligent person, to look at Obama, like from the right side, to look at Obama as an utter failure to ruin everything. Because of the situation that he was in, the economy, the roadblocks in his way. I'm not saying he's perfect, and certainly there's plenty to criticize from the left and the right, but, like, I find it hard for them to have the same objective, he's terrible, outside of the view of I
want
to
win. They have to contort a lot, but
right.
but to play devil's advocate, they would actually say the same about us.
True.
So we just happen to be right.
Yeah, that's correct. What I do find interesting, what the Republicans are doing, is two things. Is one, is they're managing sort of the expectations game, particularly on the debate. And they're talking about this whole, like, poll situation. Excuse me, you know, where they're starting to question all the polls that have Obama up everywhere?
Yeah, I love that.
I have my two theories. Let me spit them out, and then we can go wherever we go. One, both of the theories are that they are setting it up for what they can do November 10th, or after the election. One is that if Romney wins and it's fishy, if there's some theft, whether it's suppression or voting machines or all these secretaries of state, they can say, no, why are you worried about it? The wheel was set all along. The real poll showed Romney ahead. Or if Romney loses, they have a foundation now to say, but the polls show that Romney should have won. This means we need a lot more voter fraud. We need more voter suppression. So to me, they may lose this, but Karl Rove is still looks like an evil genius. And even in losing this, is setting up for the next step. And it's one of the things that
tell me, what is the next step?
Well, the next step is going to be if they accept losing this election, how they can wedge themselves back into inevitable power again. And is it going to be focusing on the ballot down below and completely cutting Romney free so they maintain national and congressional seats, or is it going to be working to jam full these state houses that are going to be in charge of redistricting and passing the right-wing agenda through the state houses like we've seen with abortion restrictions and voter suppression and union busting? That seems like the most logical route, that they're just going to do a grassroots pass in their agenda, have Alec write all of the legislation, and not even worry about what happens on the national level, because we've seen on the national level, it rarely, nothing gets done. So why not actually affect negative change locally? Why not go to a place that still has Todd Akin with a chance to win and say,
if I were an evil genius,
if
I were an evil genius, in the Karl Rove vein, I would possibly, I would think about wanting the Democrats to take back the House. I would want that. I would want the only block against Obama to be, once again, the Republicans in the Senate. Because then, once again, people are dumb enough to believe that that it is Obama's fault that he can't get things through the Senate. And that would be what I would want to, sort of put my flag on, that hope. I don't know. Maybe that's not genius. That sounds dumb. Never mind.
Yeah, I mean, I here's the thing. The economy, despite the roadblocks put to it, will be on a very distinguishable, will most likely be in full recovery mode, if not recovered, in a couple of years. I don't want to say politics plays no role, but economics has a cyclical pattern to it.
Right.
So even
thank
doing
you,
that...
Thank you, John Maynard Keynes.
You are welcome, evil Von Wilbian. By the way, I forgot that Goldfinger was the movie with the later in James Bond. Someone recently sent me that clip for some reason. But that's neither here nor there. That's then. My point is, I don't know. I don't know if blaming Obama is going to... it hasn't worked out. The real question is going to be, what happens in 4 years, let's say the economy has bounced back, and suddenly people are feeling the positive benefits of Obamacare. Do all of these supposedly great Republican candidates that sat out, like Jeb Bush and Rubio and Christie, who I'm saying supposedly because I don't want to vomit, are they going to then sit out again because, we're in a tough position to win and, it's going to be, they're going to ride the Democratic wave? Or, like, what? Because so many people are blaming Romney when the problem isn't Romney. Yeah, Romney's a terrible candidate, but they also have terrible ideas, and Romney's just been a nice proxy for showing that.
Well, yeah, but and you know, there's a certain amount of I think that there's a certain amount of we're already gloating. And but the thing is you saw what Lindsey Graham said. Did you see what Lindsey Graham said earlier this week about he was blaming possible Republican losses, especially of the White House, on changes in demographics, not necessarily Republican policy, not Republican policies at all, but changes in demographics. And, you know, because he had previously said we're not getting enough angry white men out there voting for us. And now he's saying flat out there's just too many blacks and Hispanics for a Republican to win.
That wouldn't have been you might want to be a yeah. Why don't you try addressing a new population? Why don't you try finding policies that people would like?
Yeah. No. It's a lot easier just to suppress the vote.
This is true. Well, this is, someone wrote, it was in a relatively high-profile publication, I can't remember, how this is basically the last white male election. Like,
right.
It's almost like this is why Romney is kind of going all in with the racial dog whistle, the welfare stuff, the birth certificate, like really kind of pandering to the base. It's because this is the last, demographically, this is the last white male election. And it's a last chance to just drive it. Like, if you can get 90% of the white males, you can win. Because the numbers won't add up after that.
Yeah. Because this is the... In fact, it was actually some Republican. I think it was a Republican who anonymously said, this is the last time we can use this strategy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and it was... And what they're talking about is that strategy of race baiting. I mean, there's a few things that have happened. I mean, you want to talk about the shift in demographics. It's not just a shift in demographics. It is a shift in the attitudes of white people, too. There's a population of white people, there's a generation of white people that have grown up now thinking, you know what, I kind of don't give a shit that my neighbors are black. I'm kind of used to the Hispanics being around. The Asians don't creep me out like they used to. So that last one was actually just me, and so that they have to deal with that acceptance. You can see it probably most pronounced in the acceptance of gay marriage. It's this shift in attitude, as much as if not more than a shift in demographics, that most people are just like, yeah, all this stuff that they used to use as dog whistles for us, I just kind of don't give a shit anymore.
But, well, you can already see that that's been a bit of the shift in that they're not as overtly, in general, they're not as overtly race-baiting as now they are sort of using the language of free enterprise and, you know, economic opportunity and business building, and they're trying to go more to the wallet of people. But that doesn't have traction because they've always kind of used race-baiting to prey on people that don't have the same economic interests. Like, at least they could try to pretend that racism united both the rich asshole white males and the poor asshole white males. But when you lose that, there aren't as many things that unite them, which is the honest always truth. Like, you know, the honest always truth, that's pretty much a great phrase.
Yeah, honest always truth.
Tonight on Pants Radio.
But you're right. That it's just not working anymore. All those things that they used to use, they have to come up with something else. You know, immigration, the threat of immigration is that's now the one that they thought they could get some mileage out of, and they did probably for one or two election cycles, but now everybody's like, you know what, can we just chill the fuck out about that?
But well, what's interesting, or what is one of many interesting things, is that, you know, there's just all this passion and wave since the day Obama was inaugurated and included the 2010 election. It's just like, I think most people are unlike you and I, and most people don't get fired up about politics all the time. They pay attention once every 4 years. But if you're really fired up, or if you're paid to be fired up, or if you're like just a real asshole, like the whole Tea Party movement, you're going to be fired up all the time, and that makes us think that it's this big wave of change. And in a midterm election, when people are like, meh, it makes a difference. But now...
Well, there's always going to be the holdouts, like this one, Giselle. Hit it.
With leaders who write off half the nation as a bunch of victims who never take responsibility for their own lives. And I've got to tell you, as I travel around Ohio and as I look out on this crowd, I don't see a lot of victims. I see hard-working Ohioans. That's what I see.
How in the hell are you missing the idiots? He's traveling around Ohio. How in the world are you missing the idiots? You see, Obama thinks he's got a great campaign issue, folks. He's running around. He's saying that 47% of the people are not victims. He's putting words in Romney's mouth. He's misrepresenting what Romney was saying. He's taking it out of context. Romney never talked about him being victim. But, it's good to know that there are no victims in this country.
All right, stop
because
it.
That means Obama has
reversed
the
course
completely. If Obama believes there are no victims, then I assume he'll shut down all the civil rights offices throughout the federal government, starting with the Civil Rights Division, Department of Justice. If there are no victims, all affirmative action laws immediately be repealed. Same thing for equity in pay. If there are no victims, then there's no need to redistribute wealth. Right? So that needs to be repealed. If there's no victims, there's no need to confer legal status on 1.2 million immigrants. If there are no victims, then the entire justification for liberalism ceases to exist.
All right, yeah, you can cut it. You know what I love about Rush Limbaugh, or not love, what actually scares me about Rush Limbaugh is that there are people. Yeah, that people are sitting there at home listening to that fat fuck come up with the most bullshit ways to explain things. And they're sitting there thinking it's actually logical. Well, yeah, obviously what he's saying is logical. I've had people repeat these things back to me as if they're some, you know, Aristotelian syllogism that proves everything.
Well, it's the defeat. It's a generation-wide effort and a successful effort to defeat authority. And in the absence of authority, whether that's by undermining academic research or scientific research or undermining mainstream media, in the absence of authority, then any voice can have authoritative power. And that's kind of what they've been successful at doing. I mean, look at Fox News as a sway. Look at Rush Limbaugh. Because they've made such a concerted effort to disempower other sources of truth, they can fill that gap with whatever the fucking shit they want. And it's going to continue. I mean, the question is, you know, what? That's a lot of questions, Lee. I wanted to bring up earlier when I said there were two things. I just went off on one, and he reminded me of this whole pot calling the kettle black thing about them saying Obama is a big liar now. Our politics involves lying, but Romney has had an incredible track record of making these gigantic lies. I mean, from not having a work requirement and welfare to, you know, this apology tour myth, all these things.
The you didn't build that.
Out of context, or redistribution, and it's like.
Yeah, redistribution. Or now, you know, now he's backtracked at least on one thing. He's actually admitted that Obama didn't raise taxes. So, huzzah to that. So, let me ask you, and we've got just a few minutes left. So, the debates start next week. First of all, what do you expect in the debates? Second of all, what will you be drinking for the debate? And third of all, how are you going to celebrate the total implosion of Mitt Romney in the debates?
Well, I'm going to start from the back and work my way up to the top. First of all, he's not going to implode in the first debate. He's going to like kind of shake his head a little bit because the first debate, the expectations are so low for him that now I'm going to answer question number one. He's going to exceed expectations. Have I told you on this show about one of my first jokes ever? One of my first early jokes was after Bush, as a comedian, it's personal-ish. After Bush's first debate against Gore, everyone said he did better than expected because the bar was so low. And my joke at the time in the year 2000 was, better than expected with a shitty standard for a president. I don't want to wake up in a couple of years and turn on the radio, New York and Washington were attacked, but it's better than expected. Of course, that joke only worked until September of the following year, but the point is,
You know what's funny about you telling that story again is you actually give it the exact same punchline as you did the last time. But anyway, continue.
The punchline to the joke or to the story?
To the story.
Oh, yeah? Hey, here are my balls, Lee. Come on over and suck them. Now, number two, or three. I don't know what number
I'm on. Dip them in scotch, my friend, and I will be right over.
They are dipped in scotch if you consider it in my bloodstream excreting. Anyway, there's only 3 minutes left, so let me do this in 30 seconds to let you in.
Talk about the debate.
The expectations are low, and right now part of the whole lying strategy is all of the surrogates for Romney are talking about how Obama's going to lie. Like, they're jitting up the expectations for it, both that Obama's going to lie, so everyone's paying attention to that, not Romney's lies, and also Romney is supposed to be so bad, and Obama's so eloquent, but really it's not a good debater. So I expect that whatever we see, the media will spin it to a Romney win, in part because the media wants this to be a close race. So this is the time when the media makes their cash. Number two, what will I be drinking? I'll probably be drinking 12-year-old scotch. Right now I'm drinking Balvenie. I usually drink Macallan, but someone gave me this bottle. And I think I answered the third question, which I don't remember now when I first started it.
I want Obama. I know Obama's being told all you got to do is maintain, stay steady, you'll be fine, you don't need to do anything.
Go for the kill.
I want him to go for the kill. I want him to. I want him to draw out prick Romney. I want him to draw out the guy who will try to bet him, who will laugh uncomfortably, who'll snap at him, who'll try to say, you know, that the rules aren't being maintained. That's what I want.
Yeah, I do want him. I had a nice fantasy of him making another $10,000 bet. And Obama just, at that point, taking off his lapel pin mic and dropping it and walking off stage like Chris Rock and be like, it's done.
We all want that, man. We all want that.
Well, maybe that'll happen, and maybe we can talk about it next week on the recap here. I'm Cheater and the Rude. You have listened to another exciting episode of Cheater and the Rude on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Jeff Kreisler. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Kreisler, K-R-E-I-S-L-E-R.
And I'm Lee Papa, and you can follow me on Twitter at Rude Pundit. You can also order the Rude Pundit's Almanac version 2.0 for 2012 from orbooks.com. Get it for your Kindle on Amazon, too.
It's a good book. You should get it, and my balls are adequately stoked. Talk to you guys soon.
Bye.